That's a great question.
Here I am as Miss Kentucky, competed in Miss America, and it's been really an amazing journey.
So in Lexington in particular, we mostly resettle Congolese, and we have the largest population of Congolese within Kentucky.
And he said to me, science is cool, learning is fun. That's what we do.
All the schools in Kentucky presenting a Power Word presentation, which talks about verbal bullying, negative perceptions in hip-hop, how to challenge our peers when they use negative words. At the end of the day, words do matter, and it's a catalyst for action.
That's a great question. That's a powerful question. That's a question that I hope that all of us will continue to ponder on.
We'll be getting back out to playing live, but some places that I do like playing here in Lexington.
I tend to focus on local issues, local people, you know, local being Kentucky.
So we've got these various battles raging between the Attorney General and the governor, and in the background is the former governor.
This is a myth that is really common.
Mountain Dew is not a contraceptive.
Probably is going to cause a pretty bad yeast infection.
An extreme yeast infection.
If you can't deep fry it, spray paint in gold.
Now, will the animal send you like a postcard as a thank you with a little paw print on it?
Who's at fault more, men or women?
The vetting process. You already asked that? Okay.
It works.
Hey everybody, you're listening to Bluegrass Bios here on 93.9 WLXU LPFM Lexington Community Radio, coming to you live from the north side of Lexington, Kentucky, here in the beautiful Johnson Elementary, now known as the STEAM Academy High School. I'm Chuck.
I'm Ben, and we are live. We are totally live.
We're totally live today in the flesh, IRL.
Maybe a delay of around 8 seconds.
That's but for okay. the most part, they don't part, need to know that, Ben.
Live.
Well, anyways, it's a beautiful day out. Spring is in the air.
It has sprung.
Kentucky spring has sprung. I know a lot of people are waiting until Derby Day to get their gardens going, but, you know, you might be okay.
Yeah, I think you're fine. Yeah. Given the way the winter went, we'll have a cold snap at the beginning of May, but given how things have gone this year, it won't be too bad. So, yeah, go buy your flowers, go plant, go get your stuff.
Get your gourds going.
Get your gloves, get your trowel.
Yeah, it's about that time.
Go for it.
We have a special guest in the studio with us. Hello, Sherry.
Well, hello, Chuck and Ben.
Would you like to introduce yourself to everyone?
Sure. My name is Sherry Crabtree. I am a horticulture research and extension associate at Kentucky State University in Frankfort, Kentucky.
Excellent. So thank you for coming in and making the drive from Frankfort here.
Thanks for having me. I'm glad to be here.
Did you take the highway or did you go Old Frankfort Pike?
I actually took the interstate. Not the scenic route. Maybe I'll take the scenic route back.
I don't blame you. Yeah, it is a beautiful day. And that's my favorite drive in Lexington is Old Frankfort Pike.
Oh, it's gorgeous. Yeah, all the horse farms and the rolling hills.
And Wallace Station.
Stonewalls. Yes. Stop for lunch at Wallace Station. Always nice.
It's a great Sando.
The Humane Society.
Yeah, Humane Society.
And the firefighters training facility. So if you drive that way and something's on fire that's on purpose, they're training. And then the prison, don't stop there. That's not really a good thing. I don't recommend lunch at the prison.
In the cafeteria.
And then you just keep going. It's a gorgeous drive out that way.
It's beautiful. This country dips.
If you need to get to Rupp Arena in a hurry, that's the way you go.
Yeah.
Native Lexingtonians know that.
That is true.
Yes.
So Sherry Crabtree, I wanted to ask you about pawpaws. That's what we're here to talk about today.
Yes.
Pawpaw fruit. So first of all, for people that don't know at all and maybe think that we're talking about elderly people, what is a pawpaw?
Well, pawpaw is the largest tree fruit native to North America. Mm-hmm. It is a fruit that the flavor resembles a blend of mango and banana. It's kind of a tropical tasting fruit, but it's found growing wild in most of the eastern U.S., so all the way from northern Florida up to southern Michigan, southern New York, even into southern Ontario, Canada, and a little bit west of the Mississippi River, you can find pawpaw trees growing wild. So they have this tropical flavor. They're also known as poor man's banana, Kentucky banana, Hoosier banana, just depending on what state you're from.
Yeah.
And so you can find them wild in the woods. And farmers are also starting to grow them as a new alternative crop in Kentucky and surrounding states. And so at Kentucky State University, we do research on the pawpaw fruit, doing breeding, trying to develop superior varieties, how to grow them, different disease and insect pests you might see, and also help farmers get started growing them and with marketing and developing value-added products.
Very cool. So, Sherry, where are you from?
I am originally from Bowling Green,
Kentucky.
So I'm a native Kentuckian. And I went to UK, so I lived in Lexington for a while. Now I live in Frankfurt.
Shout out, go Tops.
Right, yeah. Big Red.
Yeah. So where did you have your first pawpaw? Was it in Bowling Green?
Well, I hate to say, growing up, I wasn't really familiar with pawpaws. Mm-hmm. I knew what they were. And even though we always had a big vegetable garden and my dad grows a lot of fruit trees growing up, pawpaws was not one of them. So I think I tasted my first pawpaw in college. And so my horticulture classes, we tasted different fruits. So that was the first time I was really exposed to them.
And what about that made you be like, I'm going to research this?
Well, it's really a unique fruit. It's, like I said, the tropical flavor being found wild in Kentucky. It's actually in the custard apple family, and the rest of the family is tropical. Pawpaw is the only temperate member of the family. So it's this tropical banana mango tasting fruit that you can find out in the woods in Kentucky. So I thought that was pretty cool. And I've always just been kind of a fruit geek, been, you know, into the weird, unique fruits and vegetables.
So. I think that's great. And so a little bit about the pawpaw. It's the member of the Annonaceae. Is that right?
Annonaceae.
Uh-huh. Sorry.
Right.
Annonaceae, or custard apple family. The scientific name is Acemina triloba.
Acemina triloba.
And it is the largest edible fruit native to the U.S.
Correct.
And it's typically grown in clusters. And President Obama added a few trees to the White House gardens. Right? Pawpaw trees.
You taught me something. I didn't know that. That's very exciting.
That's what I saw.
Well, I'm glad to know that. Well, there's a lot of history with pawpaw in the U.S. So it was first recorded, Hernando de Soto, who was an early explorer of the Americas, in the 1500s recorded Native Americans eating pawpaw fruit and using the wood for various purposes. And then throughout U.S. history, George Washington and Thomas Jefferson were recorded being fans of pawpaw fruit. Thomas Jefferson had pawpaw trees planted at Monticello, and there's records of letters they sent back and forth with acquaintances in France. You know, Thomas Jefferson was kind of a plant nerd, too, sending pawpaw seeds to friends that he had in France. Daniel Boone, Mark Twain, are recorded to being pawpaw fans, fans of pawpaw fruit. Lewis and Clark, you know, who explored out west, went to Oregon and back.
Started here in Louisville.
That's correct. Yeah, started in Louisville, went to Oregon, came back. They record in their journal on their way back in Missouri, they ran out of food, and their party actually survived on pawpaw fruit for several days. Nice. So pawpaw saved Lewis and Clark from starvation.
That's pretty awesome.
Yeah, there's a lot of history.
So Sherry, what would you describe the flavor of a pawpaw as? As for people who have never eaten one and are Googling it right now to see what it looks like.
I would describe it as a blend of mango and banana, but different pawpaws have different flavors, just like you have, you know, Granny Smith apples that are really sour and Fuji apples that are pretty sweet. Different pawpaws have different flavors. So you've got kind of that base mango banana flavor, but different varieties will have undertones of coconut, pineapple, vanilla, caramel, different flavors to it. It has a really creamy texture to the flesh, so kind of an avocado or pudding like flesh.
Where can I get some?
Well, they're grown and sold locally. You're not going to go to Kroger or Walmart superstore and find them yet, unfortunately. So usually at farmers markets, Lexington Farmers Market. I know there's at least one vendor that sells. Good Foods Marketing Cafe here in Lexington.
Yeah.
There's a grower. So usually, you know, farmers market or small local fruit markets.
Yeah, I've always picked them up at the farmers market. There's a gentleman who runs the pawpaw plantation.
Yes.
And I'm sure you've worked with him.
We have. That's Roland McIntosh. So his farm is in Stanton, Kentucky, over near Red River Gorge. Mm-hmm. But he's at the Saturday downtown farmers market.
Yeah, and he's great because he can talk for hours about not only pawpaws, but also Kentucky agate. That's a big thing that he's into as well.
Does he grow apples, Mr. McIntosh?
I don't think he does.
Oh, that's a grand opportunity.
Yeah. And he's a Windows guy, Ben. Sorry.
Oh, no. What did you say?
Anyway,
Chuck,
I'm sorry.
Chuck, agates?
Agates?
I'm not familiar. Tell me.
Oh, it's like a type of stone that's here in Kentucky.
Okay. Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
That you break open. It has the pretty inside. It just looks like a rock on the outside, and then you open it up, and it's all pretty and
kind of crystallized.
Oh, very nice.
So, yeah, it's another little Kentucky treasure.
It's another reason to go to the farmer's market.
Yeah, without a doubt,
More and more reason to go.
Yeah, so I wanted to ask you kind of, I know that they're available at the farmer's market, but how many different varieties are there? Like, I know with apples, people will travel all around the world to to take a graft, to graft or cultivate or get seeds from all these, you know, different varieties in Ukraine and different mm-hmm. spots around the world. So how many different varieties are there? And are you traveling around the U.S. to get different varieties?
There are about 50 different pawpaw cultivars wow. available. There were actually more in the early part of the 20th century, around 1916, 1920, that era. There was a lot of interest in pawpaw, and the American Genetics Association actually had a contest for best pawpaw fruit. And so they had people from all around the U.S. send them fruit that they thought were great, and they saved the seeds from those. And they thought that at that time that an industry would begin. Mm. And that was around the same time that blueberry, which is another native U.S. fruit, mm-hmm. was gaining popularity. And, of course, blueberry has taken off, yeah. and pawpaw has not, unfortunately. Mm. I think it's mostly a shelf life issue. Pawpaw has a very short shelf life. But anyway, a lot of varieties from the early part of the century were lost, unfortunately. Mm. So in the 1970s and 80s, there kind of was a resurgence an interest in pawpaw. And so they almost had to start from scratch because a lot of the old varieties were lost. Mm. So they went back to some of these old orchards and found trees that were in these abandoned orchards and collected seed from those and kind of had a resurgence of the pawpaw industry at that time. But there's about 50 cultivars available. We don't really travel around per se to find trees or collect fruit, but we do have people send us seed from fruit that they think are good, and we'll propagate that and use them for breeding purposes.
Cool. See what they're like.
Yeah, exactly.
Oh, that's very cool. Mm-hmm. Well, just in case you're joining us, you're listening to Bluegrass Bios here on 93.9 WLXU. We're here with Sherry Crabtree. We're talking about pawpaws, which is one of my favorite foods. So I wanted to ask you about cultivation, since that's, I guess, first of all, can you tell us a little bit about your work and kind of what you do at Kentucky State with pawpaws?
Yeah, absolutely. We do a little bit of everything because we're the only full-time pawpaw research program in the world mm-hmm. at Kentucky State University. So we kind of cover a little bit of everything with pawpaws, how to grow them, in orchards, fertilization recommendations, look out for different pests, mm-hmm. insect and disease problems that they may have, how to prune them correctly. And we also do breeding, trying to get some improved cultivars out on the market. So we, like we said, we'll look for seedlings that have good fruit, and we'll do crosses of those to try to breed some new superior varieties. And we also do a little bit of work with developing value-added products because, you know, we encourage farmers to start growing pawpaws and try to help farmers get started. But then, you know, when they have the fruit, what do they do with them at that point? So post-harvest handling and value-added products. We developed a pawpaw ice cream recipe, pawpaw jam recipe, things like that.
Tell us more about that.
Yeah, about the ice cream anyway.
The ice cream is a lot of people's favorite mm-hmm. item. A lot of people that don't even like pawpaw fruit, just eating the fruit, will like the ice cream. And okay. with the fruit having kind of a creamy texture, it really lends itself to ice cream and smoothies and milkshakes and things like that. So our ice cream recipe is really simple. We don't use eggs or anything. It's just 1.5 to 2 cups of pawpaw fruit pureed and 4 cups of milk, 4 cups of cream, 3 cups of sugar, and just blend it up and freeze it in your ice cream maker.
Is there rock salt? Is that the old school way?
Yeah, if you use one of those old-fashioned ice cream makers, then yeah, you have to have the ice and the rock salts on the outside, not in the ice cream.
Nice. So where can people go to get some of this pawpaw ice cream? August, September are kind of the meantime.
Yes, yeah. I mean, when we were talking about the farmers markets, I wanted to say that, yeah, late August through mid to late September is the season for pawpaw fruit. So unfortunately right now there is not anybody in Kentucky selling pawpaw ice cream. Mm-hmm. You can often have it at our events at KSU. We will have it at field days. If we have a pawpaw workshop, we will usually serve ice cream. There is a dairy in Michigan that sells pawpaw gelato, I think Jonathan's restaurant in downtown Lexington has some pawpaw desserts when it's in season. I think does a pawpaw ice cream and ceviche in Louisville also. Cool.
And I know Broomwagon up the street from here had pawpaw milkshakes last year
when
they were in season, which are delicious.
That sounds really good. So, yeah, right now it's more, you know, make your own at home at this point. Mm-hmm. But there are other pawpaw products available. Pawpaw Wine is getting more popular. Wild Side Winery that's in Versailles makes a Pawpaw Wine and sells it. And Reed's Livery Winery that's down in Alverton, which is near Bowling Green, makes a Pawpaw Wine called Wild Thing.
That's sweet.
And they won some awards at the State Fair or another wine competition with that.
Well, so, and just to kind of get back about the cultivation work, so are the majority of the pawpaws that you're working with grown from seed, or are they grafted?
Well, a little bit of both. So there are advantages and disadvantages to having seedlings versus grafted trees. So seedlings take longer to produce fruit. If you start them from seed, they take 7 or 8 years to produce fruit. If you get a grafted tree, it only takes 3 or 4 years. Also, with a grafted tree, you know what you're going to get. So like we said, there's about 50 varieties of pawpaw. So just like there's Honeycrisp and Gala apples, there's different named varieties of pawpaw. So if you want one of those, you want to know exactly what you're getting. It has to be a grafted tree because a seedling is a mix of both parents. So if you have two good parents, you're probably going to have
So the seed doesn't know what it is yet.
Exactly. Oh, yeah, the seed has. You don't know what it's going to be until
produces. It's not a clone. It's a
Exactly.
Exactly. Yeah. So we have some about, you know, if you want a particular variety, you want fruit production sooner, you want to get a grafted tree. But in our orchards, we have a lot of seedlings too that we use, like I said, for breeding. You know, do crosses of those and see, grow the seedlings up. And in a few years, we'll see how the fruit is and see if it might be the next big variety.
That's great. So if people out there are listening and they're all about the pawpaws and they want to grow some pawpaw trees in their yard at their home for fruit production, how would you advise that they go about doing that?
Well, first of all, you need at least 2 trees because they need to cross-pollinate. So if you're getting grafted trees, they need to be 2 different varieties, or any 2 seedlings can cross-pollinate each other, anything that's genetically different. So you want to get at least 2 trees. You want to plant them 8 to 10 feet apart, no more than 30 feet apart, just because of pollination. You don't want the insects to have to fly too far, which another interesting fact, pawpaws are pollinated by flies and beetles instead of by bees. So that's something a little bit different. So you want at least 8 to 10 feet apart.
You want the flies and the bees and the beetles going back and forth between the 2 trees? Is that how it usually works?
Yes, that's how cross-pollination occurs. So they'll go to one tree, land on the flower, and collect pollen. And then they'll go to another tree, land on the flowers, and disperse the pollen.
Why 8 to 10 feet? Why is that the sort of optimal distance?
Well, you don't want any closer, and they would be crowded. They would start to, you know, kind of grow into each other, and the branches touch and rub against each other. And as a no more, maximum of 30 feet apart, just because that's, you know, for the bees and beetles and everything to fly, you don't want to be too far apart.
Yeah, sign's not going to work. They need to, it needs to be within their eyesight,
Right, exactly. And they can be planted in full sun. A lot of people think the pawpaw trees need shade because in the wild, they're usually found in the understory of forests and shady areas.
Yeah, secondary.
So that's their natural habitat. So a lot of people think they require shade, but that's not actually the case. They actually produce more fruit in full sun. So you do want to plant them in full sun. With the one caveat being they need to be at least 18 inches tall before they can be in full sun. If it's a really small seedling that's just a few inches tall, they're sensitive to UV light. So, yeah, you want to keep it shaded until it's at least 1.5 feet tall, which most trees you would be planting that you would buy from a nursery would be that large anyway.
Yeah, where are some other places if people don't want to start from seed or grafting that they can go pick up a seedling? Or, I mean, a sapling.
Yeah, absolutely. There are a few nurseries in Kentucky that sell sell pawpaw trees. So Peaceful Heritage Nursery, they used to be called Root of David Nursery, that's down, I believe, in Lincoln County, sells pawpaw trees. Nolan River Nursery, that's near Elizabethtown, carries pawpaw trees. But a lot of places are mail order. So Stark Brothers, which is like a huge, you know, sells tons of different fruit trees, sells pawpaw trees. One Green World is another big seller of pawpaw trees. And they're out in Oregon. So sometimes people are hesitant to buy from them. But, you know, it's just
mail order. Are they online? So can people go online and do that?
Absolutely.
Since we're talking about reach, kind of, just to give us an idea of pawpaw and where it natively grows, you know, we know it's in Kentucky, but how far north and south and east and west does the pawpaw reach, you know?
Yeah, so it goes north into southern Michigan, southern New York, even into southern Canada, into Ontario. It's hardy to about 20 to 25 below zero Fahrenheit. So USDA growing zones 5 through 8, if you're familiar with USDA growing zones, we're in zone 6 here in Kentucky. So, north into southern to mid-Michigan and New York, south into northern Florida. It doesn't go too far south because it does need a certain number of hours of chilling in the wintertime. So you couldn't grow it in Miami or the Bahamas or somewhere like that because it doesn't get cold enough in the winter. And as far as the native range, it goes west across the Mississippi River into eastern Iowa, eastern Nebraska, Kansas, Texas, those states.
Wow.
But it can be grown outside the native range. So California, the Pacific Northwest, Utah, Colorado, there's people who are growing pawpaw trees.
Yeah. Now, do pawpaws require a lot of water?
They require a fair amount of water, especially when you first plant them. The main things are to keep them watered. You want to have, if you're putting in a lot of trees, like an orchard, you want to have irrigation in place. If you just got a few trees in your yard, just go out and water them, especially when it's getting hot and dry in the summertime. Want to make sure they stay well watered. And also keep grass and weeds from growing too close around the trees. Because you would think, grass, a tree is going to outcompete grass, but really the grass takes a surprising amount of water and nutrients away from the tree. So, keep the weeds pulled from out from around it. And mulch helps with both of those. So if you put mulch around the tree, then that helps conserve water and keep the weeds down.
Cool. Mm-hmm. So you said that pawpaws reach their maximum ripeness around August, September.
Correct.
How do you know when a pawpaw is ripe enough to eat?
Well, it's a little tougher than a lot of fruits because the skin on pawpaw generally does not change color. Unfortunately, it's green even when it's ripe. Mm-hmm. Some of them have a slight yellow color break when they start to get ripe, but for the most part, they're green even when they're ripe. So it's really by touch. They start to get soft when they're ripe. Mm-hmm. They'll also drop off the tree when they're ripe. So if you go by your tree and you see a fruit or two on the ground, then they're starting to get ripe and to check the other fruit.
It's a good tip.
So yeah, really it's going through and just squeezing the fruit individually, seeing if they're starting to get soft. And they'll also come off easily in your hand. If you're having to twist it and yank it off the tree, then it's probably not ripe yet, but they'll almost fall off in your hand.
Kind of like an avocado, like the avocado freshness test, if you will.
Exactly. Yeah.
A little bit of give, but not too much.
Yes.
Exactly. And you can pick them a little bit underripe. If they're just starting to get soft, you can pick them. But if you pick them too hard, they won't ripen off the tree.
So if you pick them too early, is there a way to a tip or some way that you can ripen them quickly, like put them in a brown paper bag or something?
Yeah, well, if you pick them too underripe, like I said, they won't ripen no matter what you do. If they're completely hard as a rock, they won't ripen. But yeah, if you pick them a little bit, just barely starting to soften, you can just let them, set them on the countertop at room temperature and they'll ripen, or in a paper bag, especially if you have an apple or banana in the bag that's giving off ethylene gas, which is a plant hormone that induces ripening, that will help it ripen a little bit faster. Or if you want to keep them a little bit longer, you can store them in the fridge and then bring them out and let them ripen at room temperature.
Cool. And I know a big part of this research is kind of, enhancing and lengthening the harvest period, which typically now is about a week or a week or two. I guess how long is the harvest period for pawpaws?
Well, on a single tree, 2 to 3 weeks, but you have some varieties that are earlier ripening than others. So the total harvest could be, about a month and a half if you take into account if you have some trees that are early ripening varieties and some trees that are late ripening varieties. But from a single tree, it will be 2 weeks up to 3 weeks, which is unusual because apples and peaches, usually the entire tree ripens at once. So you can go through and pick the tree clean, but pawpaws makes it a little bit more difficult for people because you have to go through and feel each fruit, and the tree ripens over a longer period.
Cool. And is that a little bit kind of why it's so difficult to be marketable, kind of because of that?
That's part of it. And the shelf life problem is a big part of it because it's difficult to store it and ship it. It bruises so easily. It's hard to ship to store. So that's why it's more just a small local market right now.
Is that part of your research, trying to improve its shelf life maybe a little bit?
We have done some work with that. And there's been some researchers at University of Kentucky who have done some work with that also. But we're really focusing more on storing it afterwards, like freezing, you know, value-add products and freezing and things like that.
Maybe not using chemicals or preservatives or things like that that people don't really want in their food.
Right. We haven't. Yeah.
We're gotcha. So freezing more. More you buy and now like keeping it fresh yourself kind of a thing.
Exactly. Yeah. That's okay. What we're focusing more on.
So. Well, if you make it into ice cream, then this is not an issue.
Yeah.
It's just going to be gone.
Right. Yeah. Gone as soon as someone notices that it's in the freezer.
Yeah.
Exactly.
I.e. me.
So have you noticed kind of a growth of the usefulness and awareness of the pawpaw in Kentucky here since you've began your research? Well, first of all, when did the research at KSU start?
In the early 90s, I believe 1991 is when the pawpaw research program started at KSU. And so we've kind of developed and grown from that time. And yeah, we've seen a lot of kind of resurgence and interest of pawpaw, which, you know, hopefully is partly due to our work, but I think people in general are just getting more interested in local foods and sustainable agriculture. Well,
and food in general, and cooking and making things yourself and all that.
Very true. Yeah, growing your own food, trying different foods, and kind of the local Appalachian foods, you know, foods with history and culture.
Seeing
behind
them, what Kentucky has to offer.
Looking for something different, looking to maybe impress people at a party coming over.
Right.
And then telling them about the food that they're eating and letting people thinking, oh, wow, that's very interesting. Definitely. So this is delicious.
I only know about pawpaws because of the Lexington Farmers Market, because of buying them there. And then, you know, I took some home and gave some to my parents who had no idea what they were. And even just out here asking DJs kind of, do you know what pawpaws are? Most people don't. Or, you know, it's about 50-50 here in Lexington, I feel like.
It is. I think a lot of it is word of mouth. Like you said, you found them at the farmer's market and you told your friends about them. So, you have this mix of people. A lot of, especially older generations, grew up eating them. They might have gone out in the woods or, you know, on their farm, had some pawpaw trees in the fence row or something and foraged for them. And then you have people, you know, more urban areas especially might not be as familiar with them. So, rural areas, Eastern Kentucky, people say, oh, yeah, they grow all over the woods.
Yeah.
Well, when I brought it up with people, they would ask, did you mean papaya?
Yes.
And so is it, it's not related to papaya in any way, or is it
not
close?
It's not related.
It's apple. Apple family, banana family.
It's custard,
phylum.
Right, the custard apple family.
The custard
so
apple family.
So other members of the family are custard apple, obviously, cherimoya, soursop, fruits like that, that you may not be familiar with because the rest of the family is tropical. So those, you know, are found in South America and areas like that.
Yeah. What do you think it is about the pawpaw that it established itself here outside of that tropical zone? I know that's a complicated question to ask, but
it is.
If you don't know the answer, I understand.
I don't know if I know the exact answer. Yeah. You know,
well, make something
at some point, you know, different species evolved that were more cold hardy. Totally. You know, way way back. You know, thousands, tens of thousands of years ago.
Yeah, like freshwater dolphins. You know.
Right. Yeah. So at some point, you know, in that family, pawpaws broke away and were more cold hardy and spread farther north and into North America.
So I think I can live out here.
Right.
I'm moving then. Well, that's awesome. Well, just in case you're joining us, you're listening to Bluegrass Bios here on 93.9 WLXU. And I'm Chuck.
Yeah, I'm Ben.
And we're here in the studio with Sherry Crabtree, and we're talking about pawpaws. We're going to take a quick little break and hear some public service announcements, but nonetheless, we'll be back. Thanks for listening to Bluegrass Bios.
This one your name fruit juice. Number one, you know me cat loose. In my garden, me pin the fruit that me choose. Fruit juice. In my glass, you know me cat loose. Take away my worry, my stress, and my blues. Fruit juice. And that was natural vibes. I want me give them.
Are you looking for a community clinic and quality health care for your children but don't have insurance? The solution is Baby Health Service Clinic, which has been caring for Central Kentucky's children for over a century. We offer free medical care to any uninsured child from newborn through age 17. We can serve as your child's doctor and provide services including physical exams, vaccinations, and care for when your child is sick at no cost to you. Our staff also offers nutrition and healthy lifestyle education to parents and their families. Our clinic is located in Lexington at 1590 Harrodsburg Road. Appointments are available and walk-ins are welcome. For more information, please call Baby Health Service at 859-278-1781.
Are you looking for a way to help those less fortunate in our Lexington community? Compassion, appreciation, respect, gratitude. Experience all this and more when you join Serve in downtown Lexington each week for Wednesday Night Serve. We are a community giving back to our community, serving healthy meals to anyone in need every Wednesday evening at 6 p.m. in Phoenix Park. To learn more about the nonprofit organization Serve, visit the Serve Lex Facebook page or email servelexington@gmail.com. You can also call Serve at
502-565-7043.
Tune in to Urban Conversations
every Monday and Wednesday from 4 to 6 p.m. on 93.9 WLXU.
Come sit in the lounge with us. I'm your host, Jammin.
And I'm your host, Future, where your voice matters.
Any questions?
Hey, everybody. You're listening to Bluegrass Bios here on 93.9 WLXU FM here on the north side of Lexington, Kentucky. I'm Chuck.
I'm Ben.
And we're here in the studio with Sherry Crabtree. And we're talking about pawpaws, the delicious pawpaw fruit native to Kentucky. So it's the largest fruit indigenous to Kentucky, right?
Correct.
And so if people are out in the woods and they want to ID some pawpaws, what are some tips you might give them?
Well, one thing is, in the wild, pawpaws tend to spread and form patches. So do you know the old folk song, Way Down Yonder in the Pawpaw Patch? Mm-hmm. So they send up lots of little shoots and form patches. So that's one thing to look for, is a ton of little trees all coming up in the same area that all look similar to each other. And the bark is smooth and gray. You know, a lot of trees you see in the woods, oaks and other species, have kind of ridges and furrows in the bark. Pawpaw has a very smooth gray bark. The leaves are large, kind of oval with a point at the end. I think you mentioned they remind you a little bit of big leaf magnolia.
Yeah, that's what I've always thought. Yeah. Initially, I thought, oh, that's a beautiful big leaf magnolia. Oh, wait, there's fruit hanging out of it.
It's a pawpaw.
No, it's a pawpaw.
Yeah, so we talked about the rest of the family being tropical, and so the leaves have almost a tropical appearance. You know, it's these large leaves that almost have kind of a drooping umbrella.
Like a banana leaf vibe. Them.
Yeah, not quite as big as banana leaves, but yeah, kind of this big tropical-looking leaf. So yeah, the bark and the leaves. And then if you look at the buds, those are distinctive too. They have a fuzzy brown flower and leaf buds on them. So the flower buds are round and the leaf buds are pointed, but they're both kind of brown velvety in color. And they flower in April and May. They're flowering right now, actually. So if you go out, if you have some pawpaw trees or know where they are, you can go out and see them in bloom right now. The flowers are not real showy or conspicuous. They're about an inch across, inch and a half across, and dark maroon in color. Wow. So they're almost a little bit brownish. So like from a distance, it doesn't stand out. But when you look at them closely, it is a pretty flower. A lot of people worry about the smell of the flowers because, like I said, they're pollinated by flies and beetles. So they're kind of meant to attract flies and people. In fact, it's reported in some literature that the flowers smell bad to attract flies. Those have kind of that fetid aroma.
That rotting scent.
Yeah, and they really don't. I mean, we have acres and acres of pawpaws at our farm, and there's no bad smell. Sometimes people are afraid to plant them in their yard, afraid they're going to smell bad. But there's really very little to no smell from the flowers.
Interesting. And you were talking about that they are loosely related to the magnolia family? So I wasn't totally crazy in my assumption.
No. So yeah, they do resemble magnolias. And it's a different family, but the same order, I believe, the next step up. So magnolia is probably, you know, the closest relative that more people would be familiar with. Like you said, and they're both, very old, kind of ancient plants. So they both kind of evolved at the same time.
That's awesome. And so as far as soil goes, if people are planting in their yards, what kind of soil? I know you said full sun is the best for fruiting pawpaws, but what kind of soil should people prepare?
Well, pawpaws like a soil that's high in organic matter, pretty rich, high in organic matter. Will hold some moisture because you want the soil to be moist, you know, not dry out too much, but you want it to be well drained because they also don't like standing water. And slightly acid to neutral, so about 5.5 to 7 pH on the soil. But they're adaptable to different soil types because, you know, the ideal is this really rich, high organic matter soil. But they will adapt, you know, if you have some clay in your soil, you know, slightly sandy soil, they can still be grown.
Yeah, kind of like blueberries. A little
right,
bit, but
yeah.
Maybe less acidic.
Not quite as acid as blueberries, yeah. Just, yeah, slightly acid.
Chuck, but that's their main competition.
Yeah.
That's their adversary.
That's what it sounds like, yeah. People are like,
no, hey. We're nothing like blueberries.
They're like, hey, meet my friend Pawpaw over here. And they're like, no, blueberries, we want to hang out with you.
They're just using Pawpaw to get to blueberries, and that's just not acceptable. No, Pawpaw stands on its own, I'm afraid.
Yeah, I went both, honestly. I'd invite both of them to my birthday party.
Oh, yeah.
If I had one.
Blueberries are too stuck up.
They're too mainstream.
Yeah, yeah. Thank you.
Yeah,
that's what I'm.
That's so hipster
for.
Of
that's
you.
That's exactly
but
what I'm.
I liked
for.
Blueberries before right. They were cultivated widely in North America. So I want to go back a little bit to talk more about the research at KSU because I think it's fascinating
yes.
That KSU has been doing this since 1990,
mm-hmm.
And it's the only full-time pawpaw research program in the world. So
we
the
are.
Only the only people really. Documenting and bringing cultivating you know this mm-hmm. this fruit, this indigenous fruit that we have here in Kentucky.
Yes, well, I mentioned breeding. Mm-hmm. I should mention we have released two pawpaw cultivars of our own so far. Mm-hmm. So KSU Atwood, we released I think about 6 years ago, and KSU Benson is our latest pawpaw cultivar that we just released last fall, and it's available from select nurseries this spring.
Mm-hmm.
So cool. we do breeding, trying to develop superior cultivars.
And what nurseries can people go to?
Well, I mentioned the nursery in Kentucky, Peaceful Heritage Nursery. Mm-hmm. You can buy KSU Atwood, KSU Benson from Peaceful Heritage. One Green World that was one in Oregon that I mentioned earlier, mm-hmm. You can purchase from them. Nolan River Nursery, that's also in Kentucky, Elizabethtown. Hidden Springs Nursery in Tennessee mm-hmm. carries our varieties also. And we're adding more and more, but those are kind of our core group right now that yeah. You can purchase from.
Well, that's exciting. And so about how many people at KSU are working on this project?
Well, we have Dr. Kirk Pomper, who's also the director of land grant programs at KSU now, but he is over pawpaw research. Mm-hmm. And so he directs it. Then we have myself and one other person, Jeremy Lowe, that are staff that work on it. And then we have graduate students, undergraduate students, mm-hmm. Have two graduate students. And usually, you know, undergraduates kind of cycle through, but we usually have one or two undergraduate
yeah,
students.
Yeah, so there's a crew
time.
Of about 10. Maybe a little less.
Yeah, yeah, maybe, yeah.
Well, that's
six
awesome,
to eight though. Of us counting students. But, yeah, it's a good opportunity for students to do research projects also and get experience working hands-on great. In agriculture.
And so if people want to learn more about your research and more about pawpaws, is there a website at KSU has, or where can they
there
go?
There is. We have a website, which is pawpaw.kysu.edu. Or if you didn't have a pen handy to write down, if you just Google pawpaw, we should be one of the top. You
or
know,
pawpaw
if not the
KSU,
top,
at least.
Right, yeah, mm-hmm. we'll be one of the top hits. We also have a Facebook page. So if you do Facebook, mm-hmm. We have KSU Pawpaw. Search for KSU Pawpaw on Facebook.
Pawpaw. Yeah.
And like us or follow us. And we try to post, you know, if we're having events or, you know, information or just photos from our orchard, post it there.
Mm-hmm.
Have a few YouTube videos. So, again, search for KSU Pawpaw on YouTube, and you'll find a few videos that we've posted of how to plant seeds, how to prune trees, how to graft trees, just kind of informational videos.
Cool. And that's Pawpaw, P-A-W-P-A-W.
Yes,
just in case.
Thank you. Right.
Just in case folks aren't sure.
Yeah, well, some people will spell it P-A-P-A-W or spell it different ways.
And maybe since you're at KSU, get Farmer Brown, the MC, over
yes.
to help you guys out.
Yeah, we've yes. had him on the show, friend of the show.
Absolutely.
Oh, he's great, yeah. He's great. Well, we need to get him to do, you know, some
do
kind
a pawpaw
of pawpaw song, pawpaw rap,
mm-hmm.
develop that.
Yeah.
Definitely need to talk with him with that.
I love a win. Never mind. about to drop some B-I-G pawpaw version. Anyway.
Converted into a verb.
Yeah, I was going to say big pawpaw instead of the song Big Papa.
That would have
been so funny.
That's
yeah, well,
it's too bad you didn't do that.
It's okay. It's out there now, so somebody can do it. If Farmer Brown, the MC, is listening.
Oh yeah, free well, of, free again, free of, charge.
Free of charge.
We're just giving away.
We're an idea mill here.
Ideas.
Yeah, well, he'll give you probably co-author credit.
Yeah, or maybe just some pawpaws. That's all. That's the
oh,
only skin
go.
In the game I want.
Right.
So I wanted to ask you: are you all working with the USDA at all, or any larger federal federal companies, yeah. federal departments.
Freudian slip.
Yeah.
yeah. yeah. Right. Well, we do. We get some funding from USDA. We get grant money from USDA mm-hmm. and from SARE, which is the Sustainable Agriculture Research and Education. So
cool.
those are two of the main agencies we get funding from. And we do have some collaborators with USDA. And we're actually classified as, this is kind of a mouthful, the USDA National Clonal Germplasm Repository for Pawpaw. Mm. So it's
USDA
basically
National
clonal Germinal Repository?
Germplasm Repository. It's basically a gene bank. Germplasm just means kind of a genetically diverse collection of plant material. So basically that just means that we have lots of different cultivars and we have trees planted from all around the native range. So it's kind of a gene bank to preserve genetic diversity.
Okay.
In pawpaws.
So. Yeah. Gene bank, I guess.
Yeah, that's the easier way to put it.
So. And so does that information, is that going out into a larger database or any?
Yeah, what we have is in a database, mm-hmm. and actually the public can request plant material from us. Mm-hmm. So if you want to do your own grafting, like if you have pawpaw seedling, you can the public can request scion wood, which is the wood you use for grafting from us, or seeds from us.
Cool.
So that's part of the mission of that germplasm repository system, is for the public, you know, either scientists or just the general public, to request plant material.
Mm. Now, if people do request something, is it difficult to transplant trees, pawpaw trees, once they've established themselves?
It is somewhat difficult to transplant trees because they have a taproot that grows down pretty deep. Mm-hmm. So if you have, you know, if there's a pawpaw tree in the woods and you think, oh, I'd like to transplant that to my yard, if it's over 2 or 3 feet tall, that's going to be difficult to do because
But how far down does it go?
It goes down several feet, so not as deep as the tree is tall, probably at some point, but depending on how deep the soil is, it could get, you know, 3 or 4 feet deep. Mm-hmm. And there are some lateral roots that spread out too, but it does have a strong taproot. So they are hard to dig and transplant once they're bigger or established. Mm-hmm. So you can dig and transplant smaller trees. Mm-hmm. But, you know, we talked about how they'll send up these shoots and form these patches. It is also hard to dig up those root suckers mm-hmm. and transplant them because they don't have a lot of roots of their own. They're kind of attached to the mother tree. Like the mother tree kind of sends out these runners or lateral roots, and the shoots sprout up from those.
Okay.
And so it doesn't really have much of a root system of its own. So those are hard to dig and transplant also.
Mm. That's cool.
So can it create like a network? Is this what we're saying?
Basically,
I'm just trying to visualize it
basically,
a little bit.
Yeah, kind of a big, web of roots almost. So yeah, there'll be a big mother tree and these runners go out from it and send up these shoots all around the tree. So if you see these patches in the woods, they're usually what we call clonal. So it means they're all genetically identical.
Mm-hmm. Cool. Mm-hmm. And so there are some other major benefits of the pawpaw, correct? Not just delicious ice cream ingredient, but also there are some serious health benefits.
Mm-hmm.
Right.
Well, pawpaw is high in lots of vitamins and minerals, high in amino acids, antioxidants. We've checked the antioxidant content, and it is high in antioxidants. There are anti-cancer compounds that...
Yeah, I was blown away by that.
Yeah, so they're actually found in pretty much all parts of the tree, so in the twigs and the leaves and the fruit, contain these anti-cancer compounds. So there may be, you know, some benefit to eating the fruit. There's actually a company, Nature Sunshine Products, makes an anti-cancer supplement. Makes a
I was going to ask, the root sounds like ripe for supplements and stuff like that.
Right, yeah.
Is that available for sale anywhere if people want to... I get cancer and I want to try something out.
Well, the supplements are available, but it's not something you'd want to take to prevent cancer. It's pretty potent, actually. So it's more if it's a cancer patient that wants to try alternative remedies, could try that, which, again, I have to have the caveat of, you know, talk to your doctor that I'm not
recommending it or anything. Yeah, make sure it doesn't interfere with other
stuff
you're
taking. But it is available, but it's not something you'd want to take just to prevent.
Yeah, there's also the same compound also has an insecticidal property as well, right?
Yes. So yeah, it is the same compounds, which they're also a mouthful, anonaceous acetogenins. So they're long chain fatty acids. So it is the same compound that has anti-cancer and insecticidal properties. It's not a very potent insecticide. We've had an entomologist at KSU looked at it, and the concentration had to be so high that it was, you know, not very effective, but mm-hmm. it does have insecticidal properties. And there's not a lot of insect pests of pawpaw fruit. There are a few, but you know, they tend to not be bothered by insects as much as other trees. So it's probably, you know, some of the aromas and some of those compounds kind of repel or deter insects also.
Mm-hmm. Well, that's awesome. Yeah. Well, so Sherry, I wanted to ask you about, I know there are a few pawpaw related events around. Mm-hmm. There's one in particular I wanted to talk about is up in Albany, Ohio. Just mm-hmm. typically, I think this year it's September 15th through the mm-hmm. 17th.
Where's Albany? What's that close to?
Oh, gosh. I think it's up near Columbus, kind of.
Okay.
Around that.
It's again, like halfway north through the state?
Yeah, central Ohio.
A little east of Columbus, I think. It's almost kind of in the Appalachian foothills, I believe. Cool. I haven't been there, I hate to say. But yeah, it's a little east of Columbus, I believe.
Yeah, and there's the Ohio Pawpaw Festival. Mm-hmm. It's a little FOSS festival celebrating strictly the pawpaw.
There is, and yeah, that's an interesting event. Like I said, I hate to say I haven't been to it. I feel like I should have been to it before, but it's kind of a combination of education and fun. There are educational speakers about things we've talked about today, how to grow pawpaw and history of pawpaw, and the best pawpaw competition. People bring fruit that they've grown and have judges to judge the best pawpaw, and recipes to have a best pawpaw, you know, recipe competition also. And also, you know, music and crafts. And I know they have a lot of crafts using, like, pawpaw seeds, you know, necklaces and earrings made out of pawpaw seeds. Mm. And, you know, like glass or ceramic pawpaws, things like that. So it is all, you know, pawpaw related. But, yeah, that's a fun event. And it's, yeah, like you said, second or third week
of September.
Right.
Yeah. And so does KSU. You all have some events coming up too, right, as part of Third Thursday in Frankfurt?
Yes. Yeah. I'll take a step back in case people don't know about this. We have the Third Thursday thing, Sustainable Agriculture Workshop at KSU's Research Farm, mm-hmm. which is in Frankfurt. So the third Thursday of every month, we have a workshop on a different topic pertaining to sustainable agriculture. It's from 10 a.m. to 3 p.m. mm-hmm. at our research farm. Free of charge. You don't have to pre-register, so people can just show up. There's a lunch included. So it's a good event. So May is going to be horticulture. So it's not going to be just pawpaw, but there will be at least one talk on pawpaw, and we'll do a little tour of the orchard. But we'll also talk about blackberries, planting a monarch butterfly garden, monarch way station, different areas of horticulture.
On
like
their
that,
trip to Mexico.
Yes.
Their spring break trip to Mexico.
Yeah, so anybody, you know, we'd love to have you join us for that. Mm-hmm. We do have, last year we had the 4th International Pawpaw Conference. So we do, you know, about every 5 years, you know, it's not an annual thing, but have this Pawpaw Conference, which is a bigger event. We had about 120, 130 people, and it was truly international. We had people from the Netherlands, Germany, Romania.
Yeah. Yeah, and that's something we haven't really hit on is kind of, you know, as you really being kind of the hub of pawpaw research in the world. Yeah, are there a lot of people reaching out to y'all to get more information about it
there
in the
are,
U.S. or around the world, it sounds like?
Yeah, I get emails from people, across the U.S., in Europe, in Asia. Pawpaw is growing in popularity internationally, too. So there's quite a few nurseries that are starting to grow trees in Europe. I know in the Netherlands, Italy, Germany, Israel. I'm trying to think of all the different countries. The Ukraine, there's people, either nurseries growing and selling the trees or orchards growing the fruit. And they're also getting popular in Japan and South Korea. Mm-hmm. I know there's been a lot of people planting them there, too.
Cool. So, that's awesome. Mm-hmm. Well, Sherry, well, thank you so much for coming in and talking to us about pawpaws. This has been great. I've learned so much.
Yeah, I have too. What are some of the websites you gave out through the course of the show? Where can people buy a pawpaw tree if they want? There was one company in Kentucky and another in Oregon.
Yes, yeah. So to buy pawpaw trees in Kentucky, there's Peaceful Heritage Nursery.
Peaceful Heritage.
Uh-huh. And Nolin River Nursery, N-O-L-I-N River Nursery.
Okay.
And then there's several that do mail order. So Stark Brothers Nursery is in Missouri. One Green World, which is in Oregon, are some that we recommend. Edible Landscaping in Maryland, that's another that that has good quality trees that we can recommend. Where to buy fruit in Lexington Farmers Market, Good Foods market.
Yeah.
And our website.
Yes, your website, right, and yeah. Facebook and all that.
Pawpaw.kysu.edu.
Okay.
And KSU Pawpaw on Facebook.
Excellent.
That's awesome. Mm-hmm. Well, is there anything we didn't cover, Sherry, that you'd like to drop on us?
Well, I feel like we've covered pretty much all aspects of the Pawpaw.
All things Pawpaw.
Are you working on anything else at KSU that you're kind of excited about or getting started on?
Well, Pawpaw is kind of our main research focus. We work with blackberries, also fall fruiting blackberries, which is kind of unique. They ripen at a different time of year than the blackberries you may be used to. We've got some hazelnuts, seeing if hazelnuts might be a possible new crop for farmers in Kentucky to grow, and persimmons also, so American persimmons and hybrid Asian American hybrids.
Yeah, I love the Asian persimmons.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Great. So those are the main crops that we work with.
Cool.
That's awesome. Well, Sherry, thank you so much for coming in and dropping all this knowledge on us. We deeply appreciate it. And we're looking forward to August, getting some fresh pawpaws.
Yeah, yes. Yeah. Who's coming up next, Chuck?
Coming up next, we're going to be talking to J.K. McKnight, who is the founder and captain of the Forecastle Music Festival happening in July on the waterfront over in Louisville. Yeah. So nonetheless, we'll be back. Thank you so much for listening to Bluegrass Bios, and we'll catch you here in a bit.